I saw on the news this week where several car accidents happened in our area close by, and they were fatal. There was loss of life. And I don't know if you saw on the news, but recently on a carnival ride broke apart in Ohio, and a young man was flung from the ride, and he was killed, and a number of people were injured. They were out just having a fun day, enjoying the fair or carnival. And it's already been mentioned by Rose in Charlottesville yesterday during a protest. A car ran over a number of people in the crowd, and there was death and many injuries. There were two state troopers who died in a helicopter crash while they were out patrolling the event. I was asked this week to visit a man who had terminal cancer. His family said he was afraid. There's a lot of anxiety going on in his life, and they wanted me to visit him. And the day I was to visit, his family called and said he just passed away. There's no reason to come now. Friends, it's no wonder that people are worried and anxious and fearful about the future. We don't know when we will die. And if you don't know God, you ought to be worried. Really. If you don't have a personal relationship with God that can lift you up beyond the fears and the anxieties about death, then there's reason to be wary. But that's why I want to have this message with you this morning, because there is a way to overcome the anxiety that we have, to overcome the fears that we have in life. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're in this series called Connecting with God. And we're looking verse by verse at the Lord's Prayer, which is the help that we need to overcome the biggest problems, the seven biggest problems that are presented in the Lord's Prayer that you face in life. And anxiety is one of those. And that's what we're looking at today. We started off this series with the phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I call that the prayer of connection. You see, if you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship, you need to settle that today. Because you are not alone in this world. There is a God. And you can have a relationship with Him. Our Father who art in heaven. Then last week we looked at thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. That's a prayer of surrender. Life is not about you and what you will to do in life. Life is about God. Life is about God and God's purpose and His creation and His meaning. Life is about God's will. Now, today we're going to look at the prayer of dependence, which is the third phrase in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11. Give us today our daily bread. You see, God can provide for you every day. Now, bread. Give us our daily bread. Bread, obviously, is the universal staple food. You can find bread in every culture throughout all the world. It may be one of the oldest foods known to mankind. Bread. Obviously, Jesus, when He says we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, He's talking about far more than just bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In fact, in Scripture, the Bible tells us that bread represents four things. Now, if you see the insert that's in the bulletin, you might be able to follow along where I'm headed with my message this morning. Bread represents four things in the Scripture we often find. And first of all, it represents the necessities of life. You need water to live. You need air and sunshine and nourishment. You need all of these things to live. And it's the necessities of for your physical body. The truth is God provides all of that, provides all of these things you need for your physical well-being. And bread represents God's provisions for all these things, God's provisions for life. Bread represents our physical needs. The second thing that bread represents is God's Word. You see, you need the physical things of air and water and food and nourishment, but you also need spiritual bread. What is spiritual bread? Right here. It's God's Word. Bread is a symbol for Scripture. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You see, real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. Do you feed your soul every day by reading the Word of God? Do you eat physical food every day? Do you get hungry? I would think you do. I think you might eat more than one time a day. The question is, do you read God's Word every day? Do you feed on your spiritual hunger and need every day? I pray that you do, because bread represents our spiritual need. The third thing that bread represents is it represents God's family and fellowship. You don't just have physical needs, and you don't just have spiritual needs. You have relational needs. You need people in your life. Do you know that? Do you know that you just can't be a lone ranger out here on the mountainside somewhere? God didn't create you that way. God created you to be in relationship with one another. You may not know that, and you may think you don't need that, but if you don't have relationships with other people, there is something very much lacking in your life. That's why God created a family called the church. We don't come just to church just to hear what the preacher might have to say, and we don't come just to sing songs of praise and worship to God. We come together because we need each other in order to be what God created us to be in relationship with each other. Bread represents our relational need. And the fourth thing that bread represents is salvation. Jesus chose bread to represent His sacrifice, His death. In communion, whenever we take communion, this is to represent salvation. Jesus said, "I want you to, every time you eat of this bread, to remember how much I love you. And remember the sacrifice I made for you, how I broke my body apart. When you break the bread in communion, it says Jesus broke His body and gave it to you that you might have life. Jesus said, "I want you to know how much I loved you and how much what I had to pay in order for you to have salvation." So bread represents our eternal needs. Now here's the point. Whatever your need is, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, whether it's relational, whether it's eternal, God says, "I will take care of that need if..." Now get this. God says, "I will take care of all of those needs if you will depend on Me." Give us this day our daily bread. Today we're going to look at how do you depend on God to meet all your needs? How do I let God meet the needs that I have? I have to depend on Him. Well, what does it mean to depend on God? And here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at three things. First of all, depending on God means seeing God as my source. Seeing God is the one who provides. God is the source of what? Literally, the source of everything. Everything you see in the world and everything that you can't see in the world or can't see in the universe, everything that there is, God has made. He is the source of everything. Air and light and water and food and everything that you've got, everything that you call yours, everything that we often say, that's my possession, that's what I have, that's what I own. Not really. What you have, God has loaned to you, God has given to you, but God is the source of that. Everything that you have from God, He is the source of it. Now, because God is the source of everything, there are four truths about that, how God is the source of everything. And you need to remember this about God, about being the source of your life. First of all, it is a gift. What you have, what you experience in life, is a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. Nothing you have, you have earned. You don't earn air that you breathe every day. You don't earn water that you drink every day. You don't earn life itself. You don't earn the sunshine that keeps you warm or alive. It's a gift of God's grace. God is giving you everything that you have. Number two, there's nothing I need that God can't provide. Whatever you need, God has the power to supply that. There's enough for all the needs in the world. This has always troubled me growing up, studying to be a pastor, serving as a pastor in churches over the years. This has always bothered me. There's enough for all the needs in the world. And yet I see the news and I see people starving and I see people in hunger. I see people without. I see all kinds of things happening. There's not enough for all the greed in the world. And the reason why some people don't have enough is because it's not that it's not available. It's available, but it's because it's not shared. That's a matter of being able to be generous and being willing to share and voluntarily giving out of love. There's nothing I need that God can't provide. Here's the third thing. God wants to give it. No matter what your need in life is, God wants to give it to you. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Do you understand that? Is there something you need in life? God wants to give it to you. God loves you. God knows what your heart desires. God knows what you long for. God knows what will give you fullness of life, and God wants you to have it. But He also knows what is harmful for you. Is there something you want in life that wouldn't be good for you, that could be harmful to you, that could be a downfall to you? God doesn't want to give you things that are harmful. He wants to give you what is healthy for you. So God wants to give you what is good. Here's the fourth thing when we think of God as the source of all. He's waiting on me for what He gives. If you have needs in your life that are not being met, is that God's fault? Is it that God's not providing? Is it that God's not giving? Is God withholding something from you? You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. You do not have, the Scripture says, because you do not ask God. Is that possible that you're wanting things in your life, but you've never asked God for them? It's something that you've desired, or something you dream for, or something you've worked for. It's something you wanted, but it's not something you've really asked God for. The problem is that it's not that God doesn't want to meet your need. The problem is you never asked God Him. You never asked Him for it. God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God wants to give it, but He knows that you don't come to Him because you don't see Him as the source of giving you what you need most in life. So here's my blunt question. For you, who's your source for living? Who are you looking to meet your needs? Because we know only God can meet all of our needs. There are people who look for others to meet needs. I do marriage counseling, and I have several that are coming up here recently, and one of the things I hear so often is, you know, they don't make me happy. They don't treat me the way that I want them to treat me. They don't give me the things that I want to give. They're looking for someone else to be the source of that fulfillment within their soul, within their life, within their livelihood. And that's a problem, because only God can fill the things that we need in life. Only God. That's a hard thing to believe. Because we often say, if I just had this, if I just had that, if I could just do this, if I could just go there, if I could just live here, if I could have these things that my heart desires, then my soul, my life will be filled. That's a lie. It's a lie of Satan. Only God can give those things that we long and need. You need to look to God as the source of your supply. You look to God for everything. And that's what it means to depend on God. I look to God for everything that I need. I see God as my source. So here's the second thing it means to depend on God. It means trusting Him for today. Not for next week, not for next month, not for next year. If you're looking for what's going to happen down the road, you're looking in the wrong place. You look to God for your daily needs. You look for God just one day at a time. That's all that we know that we have is today. It's to be a daily dependence upon God. God says, I want you to trust me one day at a time. I am asking you to trust me one day at a time for the rest of your life. Just one day at a time. What do you need today? See, if you start beginning to worry and questioning and wondering about tomorrow or about next week or about next month or next year or whatever, you can't keep your attention on God, because today is the day that God wants to be in your life. Today. How do you do that? How do you trust God just for today? There are four things that you do to trust God on a daily basis. And I'm going to read, and I've got the scripture there in your outline. It's on Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. And it says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thanking Him for all that He has done. And fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. So you see, in that verse of Scripture, I want you to look at four things that we do to trust God on a daily basis. First of all, it says this, number one, worrying about nothing. See that? Don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. He says, I don't want you worrying about anything. Anybody worrying about something in their life today? Friends, this is the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. Why is worry such a big deal in the Scripture? Worry is a sin. That's why it's a big deal. Why? Because it's an insult to God. Every time you worry, you're saying, God, I don't believe your promises. God, I don't really believe you love me. God, I don't believe you're taking care of me. God, I don't believe you'll meet all my needs. It's a lack of faith when you worry. Number two, pray about everything. Instead of worrying, I want you praying. You've got two choices. You can worry or you can pray. And every day you're doing one or the other. Almost every moment you're doing one or the other. Every time you worry, you're not praying. And every time you pray, you're not worrying. You're always going to be doing one or the other in life. Talking to God about it, or talking to yourself without faith because of fear and anxiety and what you believe is taking place. Here's the third thing that we find said in Philippians. Thank God in all things. No matter what happens in life, in all things give thanks. Now, if you're following the outline, you can circle that little word in, because it doesn't say for all things give thanks. It doesn't say that. It says in all things give thanks. You don't have to be thankful for bad things in your life. God doesn't say be thankful for everything that happens in life, but God says in everything that is happening, give thanks. Why? Because I know that God's going to take care of me. I know He's going to meet my needs. So I thank God in all things. Now, Vonda and I had this experience this week. We got word that our insurance was not going to pay for the services that she received in the ER in North Carolina last month, because we were out of the insurance network. And I'm talking thousands of dollars. So we prayed. And we thank God. And we believe He is going to help us somehow, even though at this point we're not able and we don't know how. But in all things, give thanks. There's a fourth thing in this strategy for stress reduction. Think about the right things. First, worry about nothing. Then pray about everything. And thank God in all things. And finally, think about the right thing. Whenever you put your mind on, whatever you put your mind on is what's going to get you. You fill your mind with worries, and you're going to be down, and you're going to be depressed, and you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to be defeated. You fill your mind with the right things, and you're going to be lifted up, and you're going to find yourself hopeful and encouraged and positive. Think about the right things. A lot of times we put our mind every day on things that does not lift us up and does not encourage us, because we're looking in the wrong places. All the wrong places for love and for life and for happiness, rather than looking into the Word of God, looking into Jesus Christ, looking into God as the source of all things in life. That's where we find the good things, the right things to think about. Where do you find things that are pure and lovely to think about? Right here. I said this earlier. Are you filling your soul, your spiritual life, with the nourishment that comes from the Word of God by reading every day? You need that. And that is where you think about the right thing. That is where you think about the good thing. That is where you find the opportunity to think in a way that you know that God is with you and everything's going to be all right. The more you fill your mind with the book of God, the Word of God, the Scripture, the more you're going to be at peace. You need to read it, you need to study it, you need to memorize it, you need to listen to it, and you need to be in it. Now there's a third key depending on God. First, I said, I see God as my source. Everything comes from God. I look to God for all things in life. It's a gift, and God wants to give it to me. Second, I trust God one day at a time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but I worry about nothing. I pray about everything. I thank Him in all things, and I keep my mind on the right thing. And then here's the third thing. I share whatever God supplies. You see, trusting God, depending on God, means sharing what God gives to you. That's something I've tried to do all my life. When God has shared with me the truth from His Word, the truth about life, the truth about Him, I've wanted to share that with other people. I wanted to let them know that God loves them, that God wants them to be in relationship with them, that God has something special in their life that will transform their life and make life what it's supposed to be. I want to share whatever God has shared with me. I want to share what I've experienced in life so that others may know that too. When God gives you something, He wants you to share it with others, whatever that might be. Why does God want you to share it? He wants you to learn to be like Him. God shares everything He's got with you and with me. God is generous. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God wanted you to have all the goodness that God can give you. Now, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. God says, I want you to become like me, loving and giving. I want you to be loving, and I want you to share what I share with you. This is a hard thought. God is testing you every day. He's testing you in many different ways, but one of the things He's testing you for is how much will you trust Him? How much do you trust God? How much will you depend upon God? You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. When you don't have anything, then you call out to God. You become dependent on God. You need God. You need God for your daily bread. God says, I want you to trust me, and I'm testing you to see how much you will trust me. I'm testing you to see how much you will depend on me. I'm testing to see whether you will share what I give to you, if you will even give some of that away and share it with others, that I might give you even more. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Spiritually, there is a hunger in our heart that only God can feel. I don't know if you've discovered that yet. I don't know if you've experienced that yet, but there is a hunger in your heart, in your life, in your soul that can never be filled unless God does it. You may not know it. You may think that what you long for and what you desire and what you hope for is something else in life, but you might not know it, but it is God who you are looking for. You need God. And when you let Him feel that hunger, you'll never hunger again. And that's what my challenge is this morning. I challenge you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Will you say, we're going to see God as our source, as my source, and I'm going to trust God starting today. I'm going to trust God to be what I need, to be the fulfillment of the hunger in my heart and life. And I'm going to trust Him every day on a daily basis. And I'm going to share whatever He shares with me. I'm going to share that same love and that same giving and that same graciousness with others. Will you do that? Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to feel the hunger in my heart this morning, the longing, the emptiness. I sometimes know something is missing. I just don't know what it is sometimes. Lord, I think you have spoken this morning to explain what it is that I need, that your people need, that the world needs. It's the bread of life. Fill up my heart so I'll never be hungry again. Lord, I need some help this morning. I need some spiritual help right now. Jesus, today I want to see you. I want to see you, Lord, as the source. And I'm going to trust you for today. And I ask you to help me to worry about nothing and pray about everything. Help me to thank you in all things and to keep my mind on the right thing. Then I want to share whatever you give me. Help me to learn that you are my everything. And so I come now, Lord, to give my life to you. And I pray this in the name of your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's time that we trade the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that we trade the struggles we have for what God wants us to have. It's time to trade my sorrows for the joy that is in the Lord. Let us stand, and you can see a lot to be sorrowful for. We see death and tragedy and violence and hatred and pain and brokenness. And there is great sorrow. Or you can look to the Lord, the one who loves you, the one who will carry you through, the one who can heal brokenness, the one who can restore and transform life. I pray that we will look to the Lord and find that the joy of the Lord is my strength, even in the midst of brokenness and sorrow. So I pray that as you go from this place at this time,